Hello everyone and welcome to Let's Be Friends special with Shireen Makram on Radio Ara 102.9, 105.2, the frequency of all colors. In Let's Be Friends special, we'll be interviewing interesting people who are able to defy destiny to become better versions of a version of themselves. Their goal is to make the world a better place, each in their own way. Today we have a very special guest, Frauke Rost. Frauke is passionate about people, about empowering people to reach their full potential in a very unique and interesting way, through coaching with horses. Yes, horses. Frauke has decided to bring this unique work to her community while changing how horses are viewed forever. I'm sure some of you might be wondering, what can horse do for me? Or how can a horse help me to achieve my goals? That's what we're going to answer today. Can horses, these magnificent creatures, offer humans an opportunity to understand and learn deeper way of being in this world? I'd like to welcome my dear guest, Frauke Rost, as a facilitator, coach. Your motto is tame your fear and find your equilibrium through the work with horses. Let me start by asking you, what does equilibrium mean to you?
Hi. First, I want to say hi.
Hi. Hi, Frauke.
Equilibrium to me means that there's always different demands in your life. They're pulling you in different directions. So finding that sweet spot where you feel comfortable, you feel like you're doing the things you like, and really feeling fulfilled and in balance between the different demands. So not feeling like you're being tired all the time, but also doing things that make you, that energize you and make you happy.
So, and why did you choose to deal with horses in specific?
Horses have been a passion my entire life. I don't remember the first time I saw a horse, but I remember always wanted to ride horses, be with horses. I remember as a little kid, every time I saw a horse, I would scream horse and I would want to go over there. So it's been a really long passion of mine, and to do something professional with them has been a long dream, long time dream. And so to be able to combine your passion, your hobby with your work is really the best way of doing anything, of doing your job. So that's why I'm going down that path.
So I'm sure you're enjoying your time every time you work.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
So there's a quote by Pam Brown that says, "Horses lend us the wings we lack." How can a horse help a person in his personal development?
So for the horse, they're creatures just like any other animal. They live in the moment. So in fact, they are the mirror to your soul. They mirror exactly your emotions that you're feeling in the moment. And they don't lie. And so when you work with them, or when you are with them, just being with them alone and working with them, you kind of have no choice but to also live in the moment, because they immediately react to how you're feeling, to how you're, what you're doing. And so you have no choice but to be in the moment with them. And so working with the horse can get you back in touch with your feelings, your emotions, really who you are as a person. And it teaches you to be present in a moment, which is something that we kind of forget sometimes in our busy lives.
True. And are you the first one doing this kind of coaching in Luxembourg?
There are other people that I know of that do that kind of work. I know that one of those people recently moved to southern France. Yeah. So they're no longer here. Other than that, I think there are probably a couple people that do that kind of work.
Yeah. So to understand why you chose this path in specific, I'd like to get to know more about you as a person. So I'll start by asking you, why did you choose to study psychology?
Very honest, simple, straightforward answer. I took a introductory course in college on psychology out of curiosity. And I really liked it. I liked the material. It came easy to me. And so I decided to pursue that and get more into it, because I really enjoyed the knowledge that I gained. The theories were very interesting. And I like people. I like observing people, analyzing their behavior, or just being curious about their behavior. And so for me, that kind of was the curious, interesting path to follow.
And back then you were living in Luxembourg, right? Before studying.
Yes, yeah. I am born and raised in Luxembourg.
And then where did you study psychology? Where was your university?
I first went to a college in St. Petersburg, Florida. So moved to the US right after I finished high school. And then also studied at a university in Southern California in Claremont, little town near LA. And that's where I got my master's degree in positive organizational psychology.
And how many years you spent there in the US?
7.5 years.
Was it a good and positive experience?
Very much so, yes.
So what's your favorite quote?
A quote? It's a tough question.
Yeah.
But one that always inspires me or is very, touches me in times of maybe self-doubt or uncertainty, it's that our deepest fear, it's a quote by Marianne Williamson. Mm-hmm. So she said once that our deepest fear is not to be inadequate. Our deepest fear, in fact, is that we are powerful beyond measure. And it's not our darkness that frightens us, but it's our light that frightens us the most.
Oh, that's very inspiring.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes we have limiting beliefs and eventually we just need to get rid of them because we have a lot of power.
Yes. I think most people, we all have really high potential. And through different experiences, through different limiting beliefs, like you said, we kind of sometimes stay in a little box and we don't dare to go outside of that box, outside of our comfort zone, and to really reach our full potential. So that quote, when I keep it in mind, it always reminds me of, hey, you can do this. Everyone can be very powerful and do something that really makes a difference.
Yeah, just need to believe that it's possible.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you're an animal, which animal would you choose and why?
I think I would choose to be a killer whale.
Uh-huh.
Because they're highly social, highly intelligent. They're very elegant and very fast. And they're very beautiful to look at.
Okay, that's very interesting. Because I asked you the question because usually I'm sure you understand this. When you ask this type of question, the answers you give are a reflection of yourself. Mm-hmm. So this means that you have these qualities. You're very social. You like to interact with people. You're very elegant and beautiful. Of course, this is very obvious. And intelligent as well. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'm sure you are.
Yes.
So if you could know the absolute truth to one question, what question would you ask? That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. The question I would probably ask is, at what age will I die? Not because I'm scared of dying, because we all, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, actually, we're all going to die, but it's kind of that knowing how much time do I have left. Because there are so many things I still want to do in life, still want to experience. And knowing how much time I've left to do those things kind of would let me know, okay, do I need to do them all now in the next year? Or can I spread them out and wait a little bit? Spend more time doing the different things.
Yeah. So what's one thing that comes to your mind that you want to achieve, that you want to do in your life?
There's so many spots in the world that I still want to see. So many travel spots. I want to dive in the Great Barrier Reef, for example. Uh-huh. That is one thing. Yeah. I want to swim with whale sharks is another one. I want to see, so many different countries still. Australia is big on my list. So those are some examples.
On your list.
Yes.
So who is that person that you think is incredible and why?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I don't know if I can give you
just the first person that comes to your mind. The first person.
Well, one person that's always inspired me is Cesar Millan. For those who are not familiar with him, he's a Mexican-American dog trainer. he not so much inspires me in the way he works with dogs, but also how aware he is at all times about the energy that he has, that he carries, how he projects it to the outside, and always very aware also about how other people use their energy in good or more or less productive ways.
Yeah. And how do you see, are you connected with your own energy? Like, can you feel that now you're positive, now you're a bit negative, or like someone around you is a bit negative? Does it affect you as a person?
For sure. I think we are all energy. So we kind of definitely get affected by what's around us and also how we think, our own energy. So for sure, it always helps to just take a moment and reflect how am I feeling at this moment and why. Maybe there is some negative energy from inside of me or from the outside that's affecting me. Mm-hmm. And yeah. What can I do to change that?
So and how do you do? So what do you do to keep your energy level high throughout the day and in order to feel awesome?
One important thing that I've learned is that nutrition has a really big effect on your energy, mm-hmm. on the energy levels.
Yeah.
So one thing for me is to, first of all, eat breakfast, because that's really is the most important meal of the day, because it makes sure, you know, making sure that I have enough energy to carry me through the day, and eat healthy. Mm-hmm. As much as that's possible.
Yeah.
Sometimes we slip up. And also, at the same time, I do things like meditation, yoga, to kind of keep me grounded, kind of get in touch with myself again, not get distracted too much, maybe by outside forces.
Yeah,
it's really easy to get affected by the stress that we create ourselves or that comes from others. So those are the main things, and always checking in with myself throughout the day.
And what, according to you, is the purpose of your existence?
That is a difficult question. I think the purpose is really just to become the best possible self, the best possible me, and along the way to maybe inspire and help some people also to become better versions of themselves.
So no wonder you became a coach.
Yes.
And how do you spend an average day of your life?
Average day is difficult to define, but one of the first things I do in the morning is to walk my dog. Most of the times, even before I have breakfast.
Yeah.
And I will, if I have time, or sometimes you have to create the time,
exactly,
take
yeah.
the time to do it, do meditation or yoga. And then it depends on the day, but then meetings, appointments, or work from home, depending on the day. And in the evening, exercise, spend time with my horse, like ride him, you know, take care of him. And again, walk the dog. The
yeah.
dog needs a lot of exercise as well. So I think that's mostly what consists my average day.
And is there a song that you'd like to listen to now that brings like happy memories to you?
Yeah, I have a song. It's by Matt Carney. It's called Hey Mama. The first time I heard it was when I just moved to California. And it's a very happy, upbeat song. And it always brings me positive memories, puts me in a good mood. And I really do like his unique voice. So that's,
So let's listen now to Hey Mama by Matt Carney. Stay tuned.
She don't know what she wants to be. With all the pictures in the magazines, holding hands, but she's mad at me, cause she don't wanna go, don't wanna go. I'm better at anthropology.
I can see it in the Cherokee eyes. Those baby browns in the golden thighs. What you doing for the rest of your life? Cause you don't want to go, don't want to go. Singing, oh, oh, won't you help me sing this song? Singing, e-e-e, but you're playing like a mystery. Singing, hey mama, don't want to jump, just to kiss before I leave. Hey lady, don't say maybe, you're the one that I can believe. Hey lover, don't want to worry, thing before my brain. Drama, just a kiss before I leave. Hey lady, don't say maybe, you're the one that I can believe. Hey lover, don't want no other thing before my brain. Hey mama, hey, hey mama. 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 Oh, 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 oh.
Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Be Friends special with Shirin Makram on Radio Ara 102.9, the frequency of all colors. Welcome back, Vauke.
Hello.
let's resume by asking you, if there was just one line you could say to help and inspire people all over the world, what would you say?
I think the most important thing is to stay true to yourself. Why would I say that? I think it's because sometimes we lose sight of who we really are, what we want in life. We get kind of taken away with all the stress and all the routines and things that we have to do. And we kind of lose sight of, who we really are. And so sometimes, you know, we do things because other people want us to do them. Some people follow careers that they do just because the parents say they need to do that. Or other people. So really, it's your life. So stay true to yourself, because you're the one who knows what you want to do with your life. And in order to be happy, that's, for me, I think, the most important ingredient.
So when you deal with your clients, usually when they come to you, what's their main issue?
It varies a lot. Most of the people want some sort of clarification. So kind of on what I just touched on, they kind of lost sight of who they are. They need clarification about what is actually their vision for what's their next step. What do they really want? Some people have also, you know, issues with self-confidence, or they want some sort of behavior change. They've gotten into a pattern of unproductive behavior and they want to break it, but they don't know how. And sometimes it's also, people need a different perspective. Some people are, they need to make an important decision, but don't know what their decision will be. And they need help with that to clarify really what is the right step for me. So those are some of the topics that people will come to me with. Most of the things break down to, you know, they're afraid. Afraid of something, whether it's the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of not finding your passion, the fear of not living a fulfilled life, the fear of regrets at the end of your life.
And usually, is it related to something that happened to them during childhood or during their lives?
Most of the time, It comes down to your childhood a lot of the times, not necessarily in a traumatic kind of way, but you learn patterns from your parents. Those are your role models when you grow up. Those are the only people you really interact with and spend a lot of time. So you observe what they do and you imitate that. So if you then never really question that later on in your adult life, that you will still have those same behaviors, even if they're maybe counterproductive or even self-destructive.
Yeah. And speaking about that, what's your defining moment in your life?
Defining moment?
That has changed your life completely.
That's a really hard question. I don't know if there is one moment. Well, maybe it was the moment when I moved to the US. It was a completely different world, completely different culture, completely different environment. And I think that was the moment that really helped me a lot to grow into the person I am today, kind of shape my identity, is even, you know, right during that time as a young adult when you're starting to form your really own identity. And so for me, I think it was that moment. And also, you know, I moved over there all by myself. I didn't know anyone over there. I just knew I wanted to go there. I wanted to learn the language better, study, you know, learn more about my field of study. And so that for me was a big moment.
So, and I'm interested to know what was like culturally different. What was the thing that you said, oh, that's so different than back home?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the US, people are more outgoing, even or particularly to people they don't know, strangers. They're very welcoming. They're very warm. You know, they will talk to you. Strangers will talk to you about anything. They'll wish you a good day. You know, they just chat with you, even if it's just for a minute. And it's a very warm environment, very different. People in Western Europe tend to be more closed off, especially in the beginning. They'll open up eventually if they know you better. But from a stranger kind of perspective, if you're a stranger, it's a lot more closed off, keep them to themselves. So that was a nice change of pace.
And what's one thing that you didn't like there?
Well, with that same, you know, there's always two sides to a coin. With that same more openness, more friendliness on the first encounter, you know, some of them are a lot more shallow, you know. Of course, there's exceptions.
Yes,
but it also they tend to be more shallow. You know, they'll say hi. You know, they're very friendly. But you know, for someone who comes from this culture, you know, you take it, oh, they're like my new best friend, or they you know, they really like me as a person. But they were just being friendly, you know, and they didn't. You know,
it doesn't necessarily mean that you're close.
Exactly. Yeah. So that I had to learn that as well. You know, and that was probably, you know, you have to adapt to that.
And why do you do what you do, like the coaching with horses? Because you studied psychology and also you were a hypnotherapist and you still are, as I believe. And why did you choose coaching with horses in specific?
It was something that actually my sister told me about years ago. I was still in grad school. And she's like, hey, why don't you, you know, come back to Luxembourg and you do this kind of business? You know, we can do it together. And I was like, and she's like, coaching with horses. I'm coaching with horses. Is that a real thing? I didn't believe her. I was like, you're making that up. And then I looked it up and it was a real thing. Yeah. And I thought that's awesome because, you know, that's one way of combining my passion, my hobby with a type of work I want to do. I always wanted to help people. Always felt I could, you know, if you can make a positive difference in someone else's life. And doing that, you know, through horses is like the best way I can imagine doing that.
And there's a quote by J.D. Mitchell that says, in their eyes shine stars of wisdom and courage to guide men to the heavens. How do you communicate with your horse?
A lot of the communication goes through body language. You know, horses, when they're amongst themselves, they don't talk, you know, they can't use words like we do. So a lot of it is body language and the energy that you communicate through your body language. Of course, there's also some of it, you know, with your voice. There's some commands or impulses that I give my horse, you know, with my voice. But most of it is really body language and how how I behave, how I hold myself in yeah, next to them, or when I work with them, or when I'm with them.
So what's one thing you cannot do when you're with around the horse?
Well, one thing that's can trigger a horse to be nervous or anxious, or even, you know, depending on the horse, become aggressive, is when you are nervous yourself, but also particularly when you're not congruent. Your feelings and your behavior is not congruent. The horse will pick up on that. So if to the outside you want to seem like you're super calm, but on the inside, you know, you're super nervous or unsettled, the horse will notice and it will give you that exact response. So doing something, how to say, without thinking around the horse can trigger them to have a reaction that you might not think about, and that can become very dangerous to you.
So do you think that horses, are they psychics in a way?
I wouldn't call it psychic, but of course they're very intuitive. They're very sensitive. Like I said, they are attuned to body language, the energy you convey with your body language. Also, often what I've noticed, and I've heard that many times from other people who have horses or around horses, they can sense, for example, if there's a storm coming.
Okay.
Hours before the storm, maybe it's still blue skies and the sun is out, so you don't know the storm is coming, but they become nervous.
Yeah.
And you can tell from how they behave that they're preparing for the storm. So I don't think they're psychic, but they are just a lot more sensitive and in tune with nature on a different level that we are.
So yeah, they can sense things more than we do.
Yes.
If your horse could speak for 5 minutes, what would you ask him?
What would I ask him? I'd probably ask him if he's happy.
Yeah.
If he's, how he's feeling, you know, because often when an animal is sick, you know, you're like, oh, I wish he could speak to me and tell me what's wrong, you know. So just checking in on how he's feeling, if there's anything yeah, that's hurting him, or but yeah, mostly probably just, you know, how are you doing? And I don't know, just tell me anything maybe you've been wanting to tell me that I haven't understood.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you've been trying to tell me.
And how close are you to your horse?
I like to say very close. Yeah. I have a very strong relationship with him. We've been together for 15 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's a long time. They live for how long?
It depends. So he's 20 years old now, uh-huh, which is and the older range of for horses. You know, he starts to become a little bit older. But for example, his dad lived till he was 30. So maybe I have another 10 years yeah, with him. Yeah. But it depends, like 20, between 20 and 30, I would say.
And what's his nickname?
Well, he actually goes by his nickname. I don't ever call him by his real name. Yeah. His nickname is Shaitan.
Okay. And why did you choose this nickname specific?
I didn't.
Uh-huh.
It was his trainer, his first trainer, that chose it for me, I guess. Shaitan is the, I don't know if you know the child's book, The Black Stallion,
uh-huh,
mm-hmm, if you're familiar with it. So the horse in those children's books is called Shaitan. And so he looks exactly like the horse. He's all black. He's an Arabian horse.
Oh, wow. Just like they are beautiful. One. I guess they're the most beautiful horses, right? In terms of beauty.
In terms of elegance, uh-huh, yes. Yeah, they are seen as one of the more, I want to say, beautiful horse breeds. So that's, he nicknamed him that, and that stuck.
Yeah. Yep. And if you can describe him in one word, what would you say about him?
Patient. He's very patient. Yep. There's other words, but you said one. So
if you say more, if you just to know more about your horse.
Well, he's patient, especially with me, I think, at the beginning. You know, I think I did a lot of things that maybe weren't, you know, so the most intelligent things. And he stuck with me and he accepted them. But also, he can be stubborn. He can be very stubborn. But he's also very gentle.
Yeah. And how to express your love for him or towards him?
Well, there's always treats. He likes to eat. Horses don't understand that you love them because you give them treats, just like dogs don't. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's kind of do something for me. I know, okay, he likes treats, so I give him a treat. But other than that, I think just caring well for him, always having his well-being at the forefront of my mind, doing everything I can to make him happy, I think is already a big, big expression of love towards him.
Yeah. And do you ride every day?
I do not.
Okay.
Depends, obviously, on my schedule and on the weather. I try to ride 3 to 4 times a week.
And how do you look after a horse, work, and have a social life? Is this possible? Does it consume a lot of your time?
It is possible. I think a lot of people do it. I do it. It does consume a lot of time. It's very time intensive hobby, a very expensive hobby too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's definitely possible. It's a priority. Just like any other people, you know, people have different passions, different hobbies, and they find time to do that. And so I find time to take care of my horse. You know, and you have to make time to do that. Obviously, like I said, I don't see him every day. And there's times where I spend less time with him. But, you know, I always know, you know, if I go there, I'll be happy. I'll feel better. And so, yeah, you just make time for it. You make it a priority.
Yeah. And is there a song that gives you energy? Because you mentioned that you're an adventurous person that you'd like to listen to right now with our listeners.
Yeah, there's a song by Clouseau. He's a German artist. The song is called Mitnehmen. So take me with you. And it's about, you know, him just leaving town and picking someone else up to go along with him and just, you know, go wherever the path takes you.
Okay, so let's listen to it now. Stay tuned.
Los von jetzt auf gleich, wenn du dich traust. dich, wenn du willst, gern ein Stück mitnehmen. Und es geht los von jetzt auf gleich, wenn du dich traust. Doch wir umfahren den Rest und den Wege, die wir noch nicht kennen. Denn ich steh dich gern im Stau. Ich steh dich gern.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lesbi Friends special with Shireen Makram on Radio Ara 102.9, the frequency of all colors. Frauke, let me ask you, the essential joy of being with horses is that it brings us in contact with rare elements of grace, beauty, spirit, and freedom. That's a quote by Sharon Rolfe. How much time is needed to achieve that, and what is the exact process?
Yeah, so that really depends on the person. Obviously, there's some people who will achieve it very quickly, others who will never achieve it. You know, it depends on if you're willing to be open-minded, to be part of that process of really seeing the horse, because horses do carry a lot of wisdom. You know, see a horse as a teacher or not. If you don't, obviously, you will never learn from them. But if you are willing to give into that experience, it can happen in an instant, you know. It can sometimes happen. It takes maybe a day. It really depends. I mean, it really depends on the person.
Yeah. And you will be using different techniques, only like coaching with horses. Also, will you be including hypnotherapy or other techniques, psychology?
Yeah. So when I work with my clients, I use hypnosis as well as a powerful tool. To, you know, reach their goals quicker or keep them on the right path, or, you know, work on those limiting beliefs, on eliminating those limiting beliefs. But I also use a lot of concepts from positive psychology. There are a lot of evidence-based tools that help you to, be happier, you know, thrive more, and find that more positive balance.
And since you mentioned the positive psychology, why is it so important to the field of psychology as a whole?
Yeah, so the field of positive psychology is fairly new. So for centuries, really, classic psychology has mostly focused on the negative side of human behavior, human beings. So mental illnesses, you know, behaviors that are self-destructive or are counterproductive. And so positive psychology does not ignore those parts, but it's more complementary to that side of psychology to see, okay, instead of fixing what's wrong, you know, to get you back to that average person that is doing average, you know, there's the other side of people who thrive, who do exceptionally well in different environments, even challenging environments. So what are the traits of those people? What are the practices of those people? And how can we, you know, get an average person to exceed and really reach also their full potential.
And do you think it's more efficient?
Like I said, it's complementary to the two. I mean, you can't take a person who's mentally ill and just from one day to the next be like, oh, you know, write a gratitude journal and tomorrow you'll feel better.
Yeah.
It's not that simple. It is simple, but it's not. Obviously, there's different circumstances. So I think you can use it to really get to a higher level of well-being, to the next level of well-being.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, different. There's different approaches, obviously, positive psychology to, you know, psychotherapy or something along those lines.
And since we mentioned hypnotherapy, so what are the common misconceptions about hypnotherapy?
Yeah, so there's a lot of common misconceptions about hypnosis itself. So a lot of people think, you know, there'll be they won't remember anything. I can tell them whatever I want and they'll do it. They'll tell me secrets they don't want to tell me, you know, those kind of things. And they're all not true. You know, anyone who goes through hypnosis, it's just a deep state of relaxation, kind of trance-like, where you open up a lot of resources that you have, but that you consciously sometimes cannot activate. The other thing is people think that maybe they will get stuck in hypnosis and they won't wake up.
Yeah.
That also is not the case. You can't get stuck in hypnosis. And you'll be fully aware of everything that happens at all times, and you will not be under my will and not have any more say.
And is it possible to do self-hypnosis?
Yes, yes. Okay, okay. There, you can be taught, or you can be taught to self-hypnotize, auto-hypnosis, and you can use it at home, you know, yourself without another person being the hypnotist.
Yeah.
So that's definitely possible.
And what's the difference between a psychologist and a coach? And you combine both techniques.
Yes. In a sense, when you talk about positive psychology, yes, I do incorporate that. When we talk about, you know, people often go to psychologists because maybe they're struggling with depression, burnout, or something really mental illness. And, you know, in that, they then go to a psychologist, psychotherapist to kind of resolve, maybe they look in the past. So what has happened? Maybe resolve some traumas, fix some relationships or patterns, and really look in the past. And how can I maybe, in a sense, fix my past to then be different, act differently in the future? Whereas a life coach kind of takes whatever state you're at currently as your starting point, as your neutral ground, and looks forward. Okay, from here, looking into a future, what can you do differently? What actions can you take to succeed, to reach your goals, to change your behavior? So it's, I mean, that's not all the difference, but one of the main differences, one kind of focuses more on the past, mm-hmm. your past experiences, and how that has shaped you, versus the other one looks, okay, everything has happened to you, we can't change that, but what can we change from here on out, looking forward to make it better?
Which one is more appealing to you at the moment?
For me, more appealing is definitely the coaching way, yeah. you mm-hmm. know, because, yeah, you can't change your past, you know, yeah. what's done is done. I understand that there are sometimes when there have been traumas that you need to work through them. You need to process some emotions, which sometimes, you know, we also do in coaching for sure, processing emotions. But for me, it's more appealing to look forward, you know, kind of, okay, what can you do now differently to be a better person or to act differently or help you achieve what you want to achieve?
Yeah. And we talked before about yoga. So is this your spiritual practice or do you have other things that you do?
I do yoga and meditation. I would say those are my spiritual two things that I do as a spiritual practice.
Yeah. And when you definitely as a coach, you hear lots of issues and problems and you get lots of negative energy. Let's call it like that. So how do you deal with it?
Yeah, that's... sometimes not easy, especially because you always have clients that come to you with topics that you've struggled with,
mm-hmm.
you know, that trigger you in a certain way.
Yeah.
That sometimes makes it harder to not get too involved personally.
Yeah.
But it's also something you need to learn to keep your distance. Not in a bad way, but simply put, your client's problems are not your personal problems. So yes, of course, I want to help them. And I do everything I can to help them. But in the end, you know, it's not my problem. So you need to, in order to help them, you need to stay neutral and kind of objective in a way, to really be the help that they need and not get too involved in their personal, challenges.
Yeah. And, if I ask you, what's your superpower?
My superpower. I would say I have eagle eyes. Yes. If you are looking for details, I'm your person. I notice details. I observe a lot of things. So I don't know if that is a superpower.
Yeah, definitely is. And how do you use it? How do you utilize it at work? How is it helping you?
How is it helping me? Well, it definitely helps me to be more organized, but also notice the small things that maybe some people overlook. And sometimes it's that small emotion, you know, that short facial expression or something that tells you a lot about how your client is currently feeling. Mm-hmm. And if you overlook it, you're missing really maybe that one thing that is so important for them to process or to work through or to talk about for them to resolve.
And do you believe that everyone is coachable or some people are not just like, it's not possible?
As a simple answer, yes, everyone is coachable, but there always needs to be a willingness to change, first of all. If you don't want to change, you know, coaching is not going to do anything for you. And the willingness to be open for the process, maybe to go outside of your comfort zone, you know, because we always need to do things outside of our comfort zone to grow.
True.
And to change sometimes. And, you know, you need to be willing to put in the work also, because it takes a lot of work to break patterns that you've been, you know, and behaviors that you've maybe been doing for decades. And so it requires a certain commitment as well.
And how do you challenge yourself currently to get outside of your comfort zone?
Well, coming on this radio show is one thing. I've never done that before.
So let's check.
And, you know, I take on different projects that are suggested to me, you know, and that I've never done before. And I say, yes, I'm going to do it because it's going to help me grow and maybe learn something new.
Yeah.
So always... You know, the first reaction when someone asks you to do something and you're like, no, I don't know how to do that. You know, that's true. Your first reaction. And that's actually exactly the moment where you should say, yes, I'm going to do it.
And you just like say, okay, I'm not going to worry about it or fear it or something. Just going to try it.
I'm still going to be nervous.
True.
And I'm an overthinker. But in the end, yeah, I just jump into the cold water and do it. You know,
Can you tell us a funny incident that happened to you, which you were interacting with your horse?
Funny incident. I think one time I was riding in the woods. We were on this path. On the one side there was just an open field. On the other side were the woods. And all of a sudden my horse stops and just stares to the right into the woods, you know, and I'm like, what's happening? You know, why did you stop? And then I wait, you know, I'm like, I'm sure there's a reason. So yeah. Just wait and see if anything happens. And then all of a sudden this like little baby fox comes out of the woods. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's really like still a little baby and has no idea that we're standing there. Uh-huh. And you see it crossing the path and all of a sudden it realizes that we're standing there and it looks up and it's all... what is this? But then it just continues into the field. And that was really funny.
That's a nice incident.
Yes.
So now we've reached the end of our show.
It passed already?
So quickly. Yeah.
That was really fast.
Thank you, Frauke, for accepting our invitation. It's been a real pleasure. You're very sweet and gentle person. And I can sense that you're very pure and you have a pure soul. And I guess also your clients kind of feel it, and you know how to connect on emotional level with people, so that's something that I felt.
Thank you.
While interacting with you, and it's been a real, real pleasure. So we
before on my side too. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. And before we end our show, I'd like to ask you: is there a song that you'd like to dedicate to our listeners to inspire them to achieve great things in life?
Yeah, so one of my all-time favorite bands is Papa Roach. They wrote a song called Born for Greatness. And it's about, you know, that everyone is born for greatness. Everyone is capable of doing great things in the world. And so even if you had bad times, struggling with a lot of challenges, with a lot of negativity around you or with yourself, you can still achieve your full potential and do great things.
And what's your greatest dream or objective in life that you'd like to achieve?
Yeah, my greatest dream is to really help as many people as possible during my lifetime, you know, inspire them. And maybe even if it's not when I'm dealing with them professionally on a professional level, but just on a personal level, to maybe have a conversation with someone that made a difference, even if I didn't know it. That is really my biggest objective, to have a positive influence or make a small difference.
And do you have a Facebook page?
I do, yes.
So can you tell us the name of your page?
Yeah, it's called Frauke Ross Coaching and Life Crafting. And also my website, it's just my name, fraukerost.lu. And you can get more information on there.
And usually you share videos for us, because I'm following your page. So we get to, what inspires you to post? Do you post every day or when something is inspiring?
I try to do it regularly. I don't post every day. I do post things that inspire me or that are good reminders sometimes, videos, and quotes sometimes. So all sorts of different things.
Yeah. That's great. I invite everyone to like your page, because it's really amazing and it's really inspiring. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And let's listen now. Nice. You're very nice as well. Thank you very much. And let's listen now to the song. And wishing you a wonderful weekend. Till we meet next week. Stay tuned. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We were born for greatness. Somebody sound the alarm. Fire was set in the dark. It's time that you know. No, we're not nameless, we're not faceless. We were born for greatness. It doesn't matter if the world is grown mad. If we just hold on, if we just hold on, yeah. The sky is falling and the world is grown mad. And we sing our songs and we just hold on, yeah. Faceless, we were born for greatness. We're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness. We're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness. They say that I'm reckless because I'm relentless. They spit on my face and crush on my name and taking my life in vengeance. Yeah, you could try and blame us and try and take what's sacred, but we're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness. Somebody sound the alarm. Fire was set in the dark. It's time that you know. No, we're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness. It doesn't matter if the world is gone mad. If we just hold on, if we just hold on, yeah. The sky is falling and the world is gone mad. We were born for greatness. We're not nameless, we're not faceless. We were born for greatness. No, we're not nameless, we're not faceless. We were born for greatness.